Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 21st chapter of Matthew, the gospel text which has already been read. So we went on vacation and got back this week. And we hauled some wood chips, hauled some firewood with the Ranger pickup. And the Ranger's kind of old. It's a 2002, and she's got some bumps and bruises along the way. Turn signal doesn't work. Left-hand turn signal doesn't work. So we're going down the road, and you want to turn left, and you put your hand out, and that gets old after about three or four trips. So I thought maybe, you know, Occam's razor. The easiest explanation and solution is the best. Probably it's a light bulb. Probably just replace a light bulb. So I go to replace the light bulb. And it's held on by, the housing is held on by two screws. So I took those two screws out, and I pulled on the housing, and it didn't budge, just a little bit. So maybe I should pull a little bit harder, and that would do it. And I pull a little bit harder, and it budged a little bit more. And maybe if I... So I went into the garage and got the Haynes manual. That's the manual that tells about car truck repair. Well, we get a new used car, we usually buy the Haynes at the same time. The Rangers is pretty well rag-geared now, rag-paged by now. The one in the Prius, our Haynes manual for the Prius, hardly used. So I went and got the Haynes manual for the Ranger, and there are actually two more screws, four screws. So I took those screws off, and it popped right out. And it was the light bulb, put it in the light bulb bin. She's going to be just fine. We're talking about epistemology. That's the word. Epistemology is the science of knowing things. Knowing things, like in this case, knowing how to fix a turn signal on a Ford Ranger. Knowing how to fix the transmission. Knowing how to fix the electrical. Knowing how to do things like maybe even change the oil. That's epistemology. How do you know things? And with cars, that's how I know how to fix cars. Society, the world, is always pushing the church to conform to it. It's never going to stop. The response of the church has always been an either-or, to push back or to conform. And if you follow our church body, then you know that we generally push back and don't do a whole lot of conforming. The same can't be said for most Christian churches. And once you start to conform, it's a slippery slope. And it turns out to be a rather steep slope and not very far to the bottom. Oh, wait, there is no bottom. How many times have we looked around and thought, it can't get any worse? Well, we don't say that anymore, do we? How is it that people and groups of people who are all reading the same Bible, how can the chasm between us be so great? And a chasm, likewise, seems to have come between Jesus and the chief priests and elders who barged into Jesus' classroom. Don't ever do that. They confronted him. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? And he doesn't tell them here that he is the Son of God and his authority comes from his Father. He doesn't tell them that because he's already told them that. Let's try a different approach. They did not like, Matthew tells us, the things that he's doing. And what things are those? Did they not like it that he drove the money changers out of the temple? Probably not. Did they understand that his recent cursing of the fig tree was meant for them? And they didn't like that. Probably not. Or they didn't like that he did miracles. Maybe. Mostly. They didn't like what he was saying, which was similar to what they were saying, but not the same. But what he was saying sounded a lot like what John had been saying, and that was problematic. So we're coming here this morning and wondering how late the Grant home in Galena is open. Ask the phone how late the Grant home in Galena is open today till 4:45, but she says you might want to check. What's the weather going to be like next Sunday at this time? Phone tells me. Weather's going to be this at this time next Sunday. That's epistemology. That's the study of knowing things. Some things are more reliable than other things. The phone and the internet are very reliable for some things. For other things, not so much. Epistemology, the study of knowing things. You know, if you go around the Clinton circuit, the pastors in our circuit sound a lot alike. We all sound Lutheran. We are all different in preaching, in teaching, in methodology, and approach, serving different congregations with different needs, but we believe, teach, and confess the same doctrine. I would say the same thing for the Iowa District East for the most part. East Coast, West Coast, not so much, but yeah. It was like that with Jesus and John the Baptizer. They taught the same things. If you listen to an audio of one sermon preached by Jesus and then the audible of another sermon from John, you would know which one it was, like we can today. Vocabulary different. Jesus tells a lot of stories and the like. John was a Nazarite, a teetotaler. He was called a party pooper, while Jesus was called a glutton and a drunkard. They were different people. They taught the same thing. They believed, taught, and confessed the same doctrine, teaching, and in their own particular ways, they preached the same thing. Matthew summarizes what John the Baptizer was teaching with these words. John's teaching was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Fade John. Spotlight Jesus. Matthew summarizes what Jesus was saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that was problematic, because when it comes to authority, which is related to epistemology, knowledge, who gave you the authority to teach and preach? Everybody recognized John to have been a prophet from God, sent by God to preach the word of God to the people of God. But if they had not opposed John, they went out to be baptized by him. In fact, a lot of them did. Then how could they oppose Jesus, who taught the same thing? And the problem is, if they said that John was a prophet of God, then why were they opposing Jesus, who was teaching the same thing as John? If they said that Jesus was not a prophet sent by God, then they would also have to say that neither was John, who taught the same thing from God. And they couldn't do that, Matthew tells us, because of crowds. For all hold that John was a prophet. So briefly review these people who were supposed to be teaching the people about God, barged into his classroom in the temple, don't ever do that, demanding to know by what authority he was teaching the people about God. And he asked them a couple questions. And that's the different approach. Asked them a couple questions. And those couple questions place them firmly between a rock and a very hard place. And they talk among themselves. And they come back with, "We don't know." And it must have hurt them greatly to say, "We don't know." It's the verbal equivalent of the dog rolling over on his back with his feet up in the air, total submission. And how did Jesus manage to do that to these learned religious people? How did he manage to do that? With ideas. With ideas. With logic. The science of correct thinking. By asking them the difficult questions and forcing them to conclude the only thing you could conclude, Jesus the Son teaches the same as John the Baptizer, and they're all from the Father. Now, eventually, when it comes to Jesus, they will go what we would call cancel culture on him. Shut up and die, Jesus. Read an op-ed by Ion Hersey last week in the newspaper about cancel culture. It's a new term, I think, an old idea. Hersey was born in Somalia. She's the author of several books. She works at the Hoover Institute at Stanford. She thinks her religion, it's not Christian, needs a reformation. Maybe they should do away with some of their violence, she says. But she's not exactly what you would call a right-winger, and yet she was uninvited, she says, to speak at a university in 2016. That means she was invited to speak. She's an interesting person. She's a good talker. Some people objected, and she was uninvited. Cancel culture. Vice President Pence was recently uninvited from speaking at a Lutheran college, not Concordia, which is a university in Wisconsin. Cancel culture, just cancel these people because we don't want to hear what they have to say. That's the cancel culture. And like a lot of the problems of society, the world, cancel culture has crept into the church. And by crept, I mean in some cases almost completely taking over. The church, unfortunately, with a few notable exceptions, has become woke. We find that we used to be able to find more common ground with other Christians than we do these days. So the first answer to my rhetorical question about how that chasm can be so great between Christians is that it's not as great as it could be. We do have common ground. I can talk to my ELCA brother-in-law about theology. We do it all the time. And my Heritage Wesleyan pastor brother and a lot of my Roman Catholic relatives and I agree on a lot of things. And so do you. And sometimes our agreement is because they don't believe what their church believes. That's the first thing. Secondly, to be sure, we are all reading the same Bible, except that you can't swing a dead cat in the Christian bookstore. Well, there aren't any more of those around, actually. Can you swing a dead cat online without hitting another translation? Why so many? When there used to be only one English translation, the King James Version, the answer, the short answer, the easy answer, the best answer, there's lots of money in new translations. And your translation doesn't even have to be very ambitious, and a lot of the translators are just plain lazy. So we're reading the same Bibles, sort of, but pastors are taught at their seminaries, and this is the third thing, that Paul was a chauvinist and the miracles didn't happen, and that Paul is not talking about gay in the first chapter of Romans, and in no time you find yourself at the bottom of that slope wondering how you got so far down so fast. And then you have us who think differently. So you talk to your friends, we all have different translations, and the translator can and does make the Bible say anything they want it to say. You're looking at the same verse, the meaning is clear, but your friend has a different take, or she doesn't like what Paul says, so she's only going to go with the parts in red, parts spoken by Jesus, until she doesn't like that anymore, then she'll just throw them out as well. And that's the problem. The Bible is not seen as an authority. The Bible is not seen as much of a source of knowledge, epistemology, about God and Jesus. The opposite of authority which is what they're talking about here to Jesus, is anarchy. And in the world, anarchy, it means no government, no control, nothing is right or wrong. Anarchy doesn't last very long. Anarchy, literally the lack of authority. And if you want a taste of that, go to maybe Portland or Seattle. People don't tolerate anarchy. They will choose to be ruled by a tyrant rather than have nobody in charge. It's how Napoleon came to get to power after the French Revolution. It helped people like Hitler and Stalin and Putin these days come to power. The French Revolution was to overthrow a despotic monarch. They killed the king. To replace him after a period of extreme anarchy with a worst despot, Napoleon Bonaparte. That's what happens to anarchy in the world. In theology, anarchy, the lack of authority, never ends. It just seems to keep on spiraling downward. And just when you think it can't get any worse, we don't say that anymore, do we? Where there is no authority, anything goes. And most of Christendom these days, or a large part of it anyway, find themselves living in a time of theological anarchy. And those of us who speak out, cancel culture has come to the church. The Methodists in America last summer split with the Methodists in Africa over gay marriage. The Africans kept talking about what the Bible says about that. And the Americans got tired of it. Cancel culture. Why don't you just go over there? We'll stay over here. Split. Now, we won't have to listen to ideas we don't like anymore. I used to teach my students in logic class that when the name calling begins, it means your opponent is out of ideas and you have won the argument. Jesus gets called names. Beelzebub, glutton, drunkard, illegitimate. About 4 years ago, the UCC pastor in DeWitt, before he left, called people like me, quote, misogynist, homophobic, and on and on and on. He also said that the time to talk to people like me about things like that is past. Cancel culture. And you want to know why I don't talk to other pastors a lot? They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And that cancel culture, it's perhaps new to us, but it's nothing new, really. Jesus was thrown out of the Nazareth synagogue and then thrown out of all synagogues. And then, Jesus, why don't you just shut up and die? And the same thing happened to Paul and to the other Christian early missionaries. Just do like your Lord did. Cancel culture. And then he tells a story, and we like stories, but probably the chief priests and elders didn't like this story. It was about them. It's about them. He starts off preemptively. What do you think? You're going to be tested on this material. The man had two sons. He sent both of them to work in the vineyard. One told the father, no, I'm not going out in the field to work. But he went out into the field to work. The other son told the father, I would be delighted to go out and work in the field today. But he did not go out in the field to work that day. Oh, it's a multiple choice question. Which of the two did the will of their father? The first? The son, who said he would not work in the field, but he repented. He changed his mind. Theologically, changed from trusting self to trusting God. He's the one, they correctly said, who did the will of their father, and with their own words they condemned themselves because they were the second son. They said that they would work in God's vineyard. They swore up and down that they would be God's people in speaking and doing His will on the earth, but they didn't. And Jesus says to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Tax collectors, prostitutes. That probably hurt a little bit. "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him." He had a chance with John, but Herod told him to shut up and die. "Now you have a chance with me, who is proclaiming the same gospel as John, and you're doing me like this." "We don't know." "We don't know," they said. And the problem is, as far as sin and grace salvation goes, if you don't preach the law in its truth and purity, as we say, in all of its severity, if you don't preach the law, then people are not convicted of their sins or of the idea that they are sinners. They have no need, no use for the gospel. That's the problem with changing God's word and not preaching law and gospel. The two major teachings of the Bible, the law and the gospel. You want to know about God and man? You want to know about Christian theology, law and gospel? You're going to find that in the Bible. And it's a pretty clear book with pretty clear teachings, by the way. So the Haynes book, Haynes Manual. If I want to know about how to change the turn signal light bulb in the Ranger, or maybe change the oil, I don't get into the electrical section in the Haynes. It's kind of like Revelation in the Bible. Just stay away from that for a while. Phone, internet, also good places for information, but also limitations. When it comes to God theology, the God theology, God and man, the Bible is our source for all truth. We do know about the laws of God. We do know about the gospel. That's epistemology. And we get our knowledge about God from the Bible, especially when it comes to the gospel. Martin Luther: "From the beginning of my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams, nor visions, nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of His Word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's Word, I know that I am walking in His way and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion." So we do know. And that's how we know. And we don't get that from the phone or the internet or the Haynes Manual. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. His way, and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion. So we do know. And that's how we know. And we don't get that from the phone or the internet or the Haynes Manual. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.